And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Anakin and Ahsoka intercept Cad Bane's warship to retrieve the stolen Jedi holocron, but the Jedi underestimate the bounty hunter's tactics. There will be angry Anakin! Ah! Floating clones! Woo! Cad Bane owning everyone! Awesome! And Ahsoka in an airlock! Ah! We're talking about Cargo of Doom this week. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good.
I don't think I like how I did that opening. Anyway.
You did it just like you wrote it. You hit all your your PowerPoints on it.
Yeah, I was more just like, oh, it's going to be like, ah, ah. Okay, and, and then I was like, oh, I should add something to every single one of them. And then I was like, oh, and then I read it. Oh, well, it happened. It's recorded. There's no turning back now.
Nope. Once it's recorded, that's it forever. Nothing can ever change about it.
Forever. So how have you been in the last 5 minutes since we recorded the last episode?
It was awesome. I had a little moment where I was looking at, I'm going grocery shopping after this, and I was like, oh, let me see how much money I have. And I'm like, why do I have so much less money? Did I lose some money? And then I'm like, no, I forgot I bought new sneakers today. So I was just like, there should be more money here.
I had that too, because this is the paycheck from when I was away for 4 days in North Carolina for my friend's wedding. I was like, let's pay my car insurance bill. And I opened up my bank account. I was just like, where's all my money? I was like, shit, I was away for 4 days. So I had to call my car insurance, be like, hey, I know it's due on Wednesday, but I get paid on Friday. Is that okay? And they're like, yeah, we'll give you a little extension. I was like, thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. So, yes, more Bane.
Yeah.
Well, could you say that he's the Bane of our existence?
Not of our existence, but of the Jedi's existence for sure. And he's kind of a cad.
All right, so Cargo of Doom. You ready?
I am ready.
This one has a lot of extra. I pretty much watched the episode featurette and wrote down almost the entire thing word by word. So here we go. Cargo of Doom is the 24th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on October 2nd, 2009, following Holocron Heist. It was written by our good friend George Kurstick, with supervising writer Scott Murphy and directed by Rob Coleman. Some extra episode information. This was the first episode to be confirmed in belonging to Season 2. Dave Filoni discussed the episode discussed in the episode featurette that Beau Repal's death was, as he says, exactly what it should be. Cad Bane is a bad guy. He is not a nice guy. He is a villain. Villains torture people. At no point did we feel we should back away from the reality of the scene. Even the battle droids come across as morbid. Their voices are toned down like Undertaker's. I hate to say that I really liked that scene, but I really liked that scene because it says that the heroes are in jeopardy. When Ahsoka is in a similar situation later, you know that Cad Bane might kill her. That is a high possibility. Filoni also said in the feature that Bola Rapal was an acronym for an old assistant I had. She was the nicest person. That I do feel terrible about. At the time, we didn't know that Bola Rapal would meet such an untimely end. That was horrible, but at least it was memorable.
Oh, it was memorable, all right.
Yeah. You know how I said, like, forever ago that, like, you know, this was supposed to be George Lucas trying to make, like, a PG-13 version of, like, a kid's show? We're starting to slide into that territory now. Yeah. Like, this is
we're getting closer to live hearts being pulled out in Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, like, this is we really start hitting that traction in season 3, where it's just, like, really super, like, when we go back to Geonosis, and they shoot, you know, Geonosians, and they literally explode into body parts, but no blood. No blood, but body parts. Like, we're starting to get to that, like, that kind of, like, this is a war, things happen, people die, and now we have Bane doing it, and he's great.
Yes, he is.
So I was taking a drink. And
I was drinking too because I know what's coming.
All right, yeah. Well, it is time for our sexy platitudes.
Sexy spleen platitudes from a green grocer. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know either. It's time for our sexy Yoda voice giving us the moral of the lesson of the day. This might be my other new favorite. These first two seasons. Season 2's been good with
season 2 came out.
Comes out with a bang, season 2 does.
All right. Easy, sexy Yoda. Okay.
Here we go.
Overconfidence is the most dangerous form of carelessness. It bangs.
Yay! Oh, God! It sounded like a gross burp at the end.
A little death rattle at the end.
That's when you have to strain extra hard to make sure it's all out.
Oh my God, that would be the... Well, you know how in Empire Strikes Back, in Jedi, when Yoda's kicking it and he just won't die, he's just like, oh, Luke, and won't die. It would have been just great if, like, after the last one, he just was like, all right, that's enough of that foolishness.
Yeah.
That okay. sexy foolishness.
I just was thinking that, like, when you make that sound, make that sound again. It's really constipated Yoda. Trying to, like, shove out, like, the tiniest green turd. But it's like, blink. It's like a dingleberry. No, it's like a dingleberry and it sticks to your butt.
Yeah, but it's got more force concentrated in that than most people have in, you know, their entire bodies. It's got more midichlorians than Yoda shits out more midichlorians than most Jedis have in their whole body.
Yeah, sucker. Your mama's so fat. I don't know. Your Yoda's so good that he shits out more midichlorians. I don't know. Anyway, act one. Move on to act one. All right.
Yoda's not even in this one, is he?
I don't think he is.
He's in the last one, but just yelling at people, so.
There's a lot of Admiral Yularen, though, who I think is secretly my MVP of this episode, just because he makes the most ridiculous pissed off faces.
Yeah, he's not happy in this. He's getting annoyed.
He's so annoyed. I really like Yularen a lot in this episode. Anyway, Act 1. Following the events of the last episode, Cad Bane has kidnapped Jedi Master Bolo Rapal, who is the keeper of the Kyber Memory Crystal, with a list of every Force-sensitive child in the galaxy. Ugh. Sorry, I had to burp. Sorry. Please edit that out.
Oh.
Sorry. I, like, never drink carbonated drinks, and I'm drinking one right now, and I'm just like, oh, God, I forgot this is why I don't drink carbonated drinks. Every Force child in the galaxy with crapping Yodas. Now in control of a fleet of separatist ships, Cad Bane is met by Anakin, Ahsoka, and their men in attempts to stop them. Anakin is mowing through the ships and doesn't know that Rapal is on one until Rapal's men call in that the Jedi isn't on the planet anymore. On Bane's ship, his droid have Rapal in a gel cell and begin torturing him. Bane's ship breaks away from the battle, and Admiral Yularen informs Anakin. The Jedi is now sure that Rapal is on that ship. Anakin tells Yularen to prepare for boarding, and Yularen goes, "Preposterous! Well, there we have no boarding vessels. We are prepared for the planet. Nope, this is not in the regulations." But Anakin has a plan. They destroy the hyperdrive so Bane can't get away. In the hangar, Anakin tells Rex and the men that they're boarding the ship. Rex has a much calmer response of, okay, we don't have any boarding ships, so what's up? Anakin points to a group of AT-TE walkers, which they will use. Yularen is aghast at the plan, but Ahsoka and Rex totally dig this plan. They load up the men. Cad Bane tortures Rapal, yet trying to get him to open the holocron. He kills Bully Rapal in the process. Dun dun dun. Bane now needs another Jedi. Anakin moves his cruiser over Bane's ship and drops the AT-TE walkers on top of it. They now engage in an awesome space fight, which Bane has no intention of running from. A holoscape of a pissed off Newt Gunray is there because Bane is wasting all his money he has invested in these ships. Bane eyes our two Jedi heroes as his new targets. He orders... I almost left Newt Gunray out of this, but he kept popping up, so I guess I felt like I had to talk about him. He orders the droids to activate the self-destruct sequence and move his ship, all his ship functions to his wrist device. Bane escapes the bridge in the air duct as Anakin, Ahsoka, and Rex storm the room. I think I had a bit too much fun with that section.
Yeah.
Preposterous! This is not in regulation! No! No! We can't do this, Anakin. We can't. This is not how you run a ship. This is my ship. Gosh, I wish there was an empire to rule.
Well,
that was actually one of my notes.
My big note is just like, they tortured a Jedi to death, like, ruthlessly. So ruthless, more ruthless than even conscienceless droids. The droids are just, the droids are getting skeeved out.
Yeah, because even one of the droids is like, sir, he's gonna die. And he goes, hey, are you a medical droid? No, then shut up.
Yeah, and I mean, they just pound that scene home. You know, there's no, it's as like he said, he's like, yeah, no, we weren't trying to tone it. They, you know, they definitely were toning down. They drew attention to it, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. I like it takes Cad Bane up a notch in evil, you know. And now he's not only evil, he's just ruthlessly deadly. You know, he will kill a Jedi just to get something, to get money.
You know, I've seen some people complain about this in Rebels, that the Rebels win a lot, especially in season one, and it makes the Empire look really dumb. And we kind of had that sort of in season one of Clone Wars, where the Jedi won a lot. Like, you know, Grievous had the same cutscene of him jumping in a ship 12 times,
right.
And Dooku's a stooge, and Ventress failed a lot of times. Well, now we have a scary villain to show that the Jedi aren't winning anymore. Like, you know, my only teeny tiny gripe is it makes the Separatists look kind of bad. They look like chumps because this
they
bounty
are chumps.
Is getting shit. Yeah, this bounty hunter is getting shit done. And, you know, like I said in the last episode, this war would be done a lot faster if they used more bounty hunters.
I've got another note later on in the story about how the war could have been done a lot earlier, too.
All right.
Coming up, actually.
My only other note I have this is I really enjoy Yular in this entire episode, like I said. I like the way he keeps sneering at Anakin's plans. And I kept... Because Yular actually joins the Empire later.
Oh, really? And, yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and because, like, and I think we talked about it before, because I think I mentioned how I was, like, I couldn't believe that Yularen joined the Empire, because he worked so closely with the Jedi, and, you know, he worked so closely, you know, these guys are his friends, and they protected each other. This is the first episode where I could be like, okay, I see why this guy joins the Empire, because I could see him being, like, crazy Jedi, this isn't military rules.
Yeah.
I wish there was some military force with rules to follow.
These guys need to get their ducks in a row. I wish there was somebody who made the trains run on time.
Yeah, so like this was the first episode. I was like, okay, Yularen, I can see why you joined the Empire. But I also kind of like this idea of like when Yularen's in the Empire, like Vader shows up and he just like fucking with Yularen. Just be like, hey, remember that time I jumped in some walkers and dropped out of a ship? What? What?
It was, the Empire by that point is basically a corporate takeover, you know, so he's sort of in the same infrastructure and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people did the mental gymnastics of like, well, you know, doing the same thing, I'm just working for someone different, for someone different.
And that's actually kind of what I read about you, Lauren. A lot of the stuff came out of like EU stuff. So like in the Legends, when the Empire took over, he actually took a smaller role because like, and it wasn't until later that he actually started taking on more of a bigger role in the Empire. He actually originally chose to do, like, a smaller thing and not be on a ship anymore. And then he became, I think, if I remember correctly, it's been a few months since I've read this. I think he then went back to being on a ship and leading a ship. So I like to think that, unlike Tarkin, who is just Satan's spawn, Yularen, I think, actually, there is a good man in there. So he just took a military role because it was a natural job. And it was a job. And then either he started believing in it or, you know, it was just a promotion.
And Palpatine also manipulated things so you could very easily think that you were on the right side.
Yeah. So. I mean, look at Tarkin. Tarkin started in the Republic, too. But Tarkin is Satan's spawn. I hate Tarkin. He's
kind of more of a dick. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Tarkin is unlike Bane, who I love, and there are characters I love to hate, I love to hate Jar Jar. We'll use Jar Jar. I love to hate Jar Jar. It's fun hating Jar Jar. And I love Bane because he's a good villain. Tarkin is just a piece of shit. I hate Tarkin. I can't stand Tarkin. Tarkin is an asshole. He is the essence of asshole. He is a bag of dicks. Like, he is like 20 dick snakes in a bag, and then you give them to your child, and they eat your child. Like, that is Tarkin.
Well, he's the closest thing in Star Wars to, like, a real Nazi.
Yeah!
To where you'd, like, think that's what, you know, he's even his uniform and stuff, and his whole, you know, demeanor is all, so close to a regular Earth Nazi that, yeah, you just tend to hate him. And plus, he's not even like the dashing Aryan Earth Nazi. He's the sunken faced, prim, just, you know, he's evil just through officiousness and rules and order and stuff like that. So he's just this devoid of any positive human attributes.
Yeah, like, even in the Citadel episodes, like, when we actually meet Tarkin in Clone Wars, they rescue him from the Citadel. He's working with a Jedi Master, he's being rescued by Jedi, and then he's just like, oh, Jedi are useless. I'm like, they just fucking got your ass out of the Citadel, dude. Like, they're not useless, they just got you out of that, and he just doesn't acknowledge the Jedi. He's just there to be he wants to be in the military, but he doesn't want to work with the Jedi.
A Jedi destroyed his teddy bear when he was a kid, so it doesn't matter. They're never going to do right in his eyes.
I could actually see, because the Jedi didn't actually become mixed up in the military and the politics until, episode 2?
Yeah, it wasn't even a teddy bear, it was a teddy Gundark.
Yeah, and so I could see, like, Tarkin be one of the ones that were like, this war has started, we don't need the Jedi. We don't need these generals, and he just kind of is being forced to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him always heading the Jedi. So, anyway, I didn't have anything else for Act 1, did you?
Nope, that's about all I did. The big takeaway for me is the deadly torture scene.
We have some nice little droid moments.
This is top to bottom filled with, like, comedic, which is funny, because but the tortured Jedi to death, they're not really being humorous, but they are just sort of in their goofiness. They're just humorous as they are, but they're being kind of darkly grim. But yeah, there's a lot of Three Stooges going on with the droids in this one.
My two favorite ones is, I think, when the ships were going down and the one droid was like, I hate this job.
It's something like, I guess this is where we go down with the ship.
Yeah, and then the other one is at the end when Anakin is walking towards the three droids where Bane has Ahsoka, and they're like, there's three of us and one of him. It's not gonna matter.
He puts his arms down, slumps his head, yeah.
We're gonna die.
Here's where we die.
So yeah, the droids were definitely in top form in this episode, from top to bottom. So, Act 2. Act 2. Bane, Hollis, oh yeah, and like I said, like, I just kind of threw in Newt Gunray. I don't feel like he did anything. I don't feel like any of the Newt Gunray scenes needed to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just like, why is he here? Those scenes, there was a few weird pacing scenes in this, like, I think it's in this one. Yeah, it's in this act. And but where the fire breaks out and then near the bombshells, and then they keep going back to the bombshells, like, every minute, they're like, by the way, there's a fire, there's a fire, there's a fire, there's a fire, there's a fire. And I'm like, oh my god, I know there's a fucking fire. Shut up.
There's a fire everywhere. The ship's blowing up.
I know. And so, like, between the Newt Gunray scenes and the 12 scenes, I didn't count them, but it felt like 12 scenes of them showing the fire near the bombs. Some of those could have been cut out and used towards other things. Like awesome space battles.
Yeah.
Anyway. Act 2, and that was my biggest pet peeve of this episode. Act 2. Bane holoscopes in pretty much to say neener neener to our heroes. I have both the holocron and the memory crystal. Neener neener. Ahsoka has R2 search for Ropal while Anakin sends Rex down to the hangar to destroy all the escape pods. But as the cruiser shakes, as the self-destruct sets off, destroying one of the engines, Bane tells his droids to distract the clones while he separates the Jedi. Ahsoka sadly informs Anakin that she's found Ropal and he's dead. The power goes out. They see Bane streak by and they give chase. He leads them to the hangar and flips on the light, and they're surrounded by a group of droids. A battle breaks out, and Bane turns off the gravity. Our heroes float up in the air. In the midst of the fray, some of the bombshells break loose and float among the fight. R2 gets the gravity back on, and Bane races out. Ahsoka chases after Bane, and Anakin calls out that it's a trap. Bane closes the door, separating the Jedi. When a droid trips, it shoots one of the bombshell canisters and it caves in the room. Anakin and Rex are now cut off from each other as well. Ahsoka fights Bane, but he grabs her leg and shocks her unconscious.
Yeah, that was a nice move by him pretending to get knocked out. You know, that was his whole plan, pretty much.
He has gadgets and toys.
To administer his gadget, yeah.
I just had a Little Mermaid moment. He has gadgets and gizmos aplenty. He has who's it's and what's it's come more. Can he kill a Jedi? He killed 20. But who cares? No big deal. We want more. More Cad Bane, where the Star Wars fans are. More Cad Bane and our Boba Fett movie. Come on, Dave Filoni, put him in. Rebels. Okay, sorry. I had a moment.
Is that the true thing, or is that just something you wrote on the spot?
No, I made that up off the top of my head.
Nice.
Thanks. That's why it didn't rhyme. Anyway. What did you think about Act 2?
Why would the walkers just, like, fall through space like that with no gravity?
They had gravity feet.
Okay.
Yeah, that was something that Rex said. When they dropped he was like, oh, and the feet are magnetized. So they probably just started, like...
Letting them pull towards the ship.
Yeah, the other thing I think is, like, the force of the drop, like, when it let go, it kind of, like, pushed it, and then the magnet pulled it down, because Rex did say it has gravity. They had magnetic feet, and they were pressurized.
That's a minor quibble compared to...
The clones were outside of the walker anyway.
This section was all about fighting in zero-G, out in space and inside, and boy, that was a... It's great to see the Jedi are just like, oh, all right, well, we're floating now. And then they just like compensate, you know, and it was just all the zero G fighting stuff was great.
Yeah. Like the one where they were in the hangar and engines up to gravity. That is hands down one of my top favorite fights of Clone Wars. It's just so unique and well done, and the animation is just great with it.
I would have changed it, though, where the Jedi started, George Kurstick, if you're listening. Go back in time and change this. And this was the one when we met him. He was just like, I got my episode is coming, you know, my Cad Bane episode is coming up. I would have had the Jedi, like, using the Force to fling each other all over the place, you know. Just sort of like slingshotting each other and stuff.
Yeah, how Ezra and Kanan do it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except in zero G, it would have been great. They could have just like one flings one the other way and one counters. It could have been really cool. But either way, it was really cool.
Yeah.
I made another just note. Droid eyes are... I wonder where droids' eyes are positioned, because their eyes, quote-unquote, on their head are just bolts where their head's bolted on. But I don't know. That's just some random thought I had. Here's what I was mentioning in the...
No, hold on. I'm still processing droid eyes.
They don't have them. They're not where they are. They're not where they visually look like they are. They probably just have little dot sensors somewhere to see stuff. But it doesn't look like there's eyes on their head. You know, it's just the bolt where their head's attached to their neck.
I'm going to tweet that. When you have that sudden realization that battle droids don't have eyes.
So
anyway, go on.
If you remember how you were saying, you know, why they didn't use bounty hunters more.
Yeah.
Here's how if only the bad guys knew that all you got to do is shoot R2. In almost any situation, the first person you should shoot is probably R2, because he's turning on gravity. He's opening the doors. He's getting everything set up. But you notice, since he's just a droid, he always gets ignored. He has to fly through laser bolts and stuff, but there's nobody going, stop that droid, bam, 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 and blame it. He just sort of goes through the middle of everything because nobody ever knows, you know. It's so many defeats could have been wrought on, you know, right up into the rebellion by just taking out R2, you know?
Are you saying that R2 is the greatest hero of our time?
Well, of their time. He's the greatest hero of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But yeah, he's like the enabler for the good guys, you know, throughout time, you know, before some of them are even born, he's helping out the cause. So yeah, he is sort of the big hero of Star Wars.
Did Anakin make R2? I just had a mind blank.
No.
Okay.
R2 was on Queen Amidala, was just a tech droid on Queen Amidala's ship.
Okay, because I just had a mind blank, because I was like, I know he saw R2 as a kid, but I couldn't remember if he made him or not.
No, he was just the last remaining droid on the royal ship. Who knows where he came from? I don't know if he was, that was him off the factory, you know?
Mm-hmm. God, R2's ancient.
And we get general narrator having his Skywalker moment.
Yeah. One. I love that every time, like, Anakin says something, he's just like, but Anakin, move the ship away. We're going to leave them. Get away. Oh, man, you lord, I loved him so much in this episode. I kept laughing at him. He just made ridiculous, like, eye roll faces.
Yeah, he was not enjoying any of it.
No. Actually, most of my notes came in Act 3, so I only had two shallow notes for this section, which was, I do like Ahsoka's new look. She gets several costume changes throughout the series, and this one's one of my favorites.
Yeah, she gets like a little loincloth hanky that hangs around her waist.
They probably do that, and I would say that's probably my one tiny gripe about it. It's very close to her skin color. I remember when I first saw it in college, I just glanced at it, and I was like, whoa, little, is she naked?
Little double take, yeah. Come on, whoa. Disney. Or was it? Come on, Cartoon Network.
Yeah, it's very close to her skin color, but I do like the design of it. And the other one is the moment where Rex smacks his head on the pipe is actually a callback to the original trilogy when that stormtrooper hit his head on the door.
Yep.
So I always love that moment.
And where Boba Fett hits his head on the door going in.
They do that to Ezra, too. There's a few times where Ezra's just like, yeah, and he, like, smacks his face into stuff, and it's all, like, callbacks to that. I like when they do silly stuff like that. Especially with Rex. He needs to be more silly. He needs to be telling jokes and shit. What do you call a three-humped wampa pregnant? I don't know. Anyway, did you have anything else for Act 2?
No, that's it for me.
All right, here we go. the biggest chunk of reading for me. Okay, Act 3. Anakin unburies himself from the rubble. Rex and his men are able to head back to the hangar to find a transport off the cruiser. Fire has now broken out, and hazardously surrounds the remaining bombshells. Now awake, Ahsoka is in binders made for Jedi. Bane steals one of her Padawan braids as a keepsake. He's quite amused by her as he shocks the shit out of her. Bane locks Ahsoka in an airlock. Anakin arrives and is not amused at all. Bane gives him an ultimatum. Either unlock the holocron or he'll open the airlock, sucking Ahsoka out into space. Ahsoka pleads with Anakin not to do it, but he can't let her die. Rex and his men find the last shuttle, and it's under heavy droid protection. Yularen warns Rex they only have a few minutes left and pulls the Republic cruiser away from the ship for safety. In a very rare quiet scene in Clone Wars, Anakin uses the Force to open the holocron and combine the memory crystal with it. He then uses the Force to snatch back both his and Ahsoka's lightsabers to take out the two super commando droids in the room. Bane hits the airlock and Ahsoka grabs a panel for dear life. Ahsoka throws a droid into the door panel to open it as Bane speeds away on his rocket boots. They hold on to each other as the door closes. Bane overlooks the hangar battle as two clones come up behind him. Running in the hall, Anakin still wants to go after the bounty hunter, but Ahsoka says it's putting his life and all the lives of their men in danger if they don't leave now. Patience, Master! Patience, she tells him. They hurry into the hangar. Looking up to the balcony, they see what looks like Cad Bane being shot by another clone trooper. They all race onto the ship and pick up the supposed Bane killer trooper. Fire takes over the bombshells and explode the cruiser as they leave. Anakin comments that Bane was killed, but he can still sense his presence in the Force. Arriving back on the Republic cruiser, Yularen is not amused by Anakin's version of success. It must be noted there's a clone that leaves the escape ship right behind Anakin. He's injured and holding his arm. Just to note, that clone trooper will be very important in the opening minutes of next week's episode. The end.
And I remember spotting that the first time I saw it. I was very proud of myself that I knew what was going on there. Although they did not watching it again, they definitely give you plenty of time to figure that out. You know?
Yeah, I took that as like, this is still a kid show.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is still a kid show. I mean, it's really easy to figure out, but I mean, this is also still for a younger audience, and you know, they probably aren't looking for something like that.
I just don't see how Anakin argued that whole thing at the end was a success.
I loved it. It was like,
it wasn't,
I set everything
a total
on fire,
failure.
So yes, we won.
It wasn't a total failure, but some Jedi got killed, a lot of equipment got destroyed.
We lost the holocron.
The holocron, that information is, that, you know, priceless information has been lost forever. So, yeah.
But
I don't
we
know
won.
How. He so confidently, you know, called it success. You know, he was kind of smugly walking away, just like, hey, you know, we won, right? And it's like, time to join the Empire.
Time to, I just see, like, Yularen sitting in a bar back on Coruscant being like, Yoda, please, don't put me with him again. Oh, but you'll be with him next week. Oh, God.
And just to add to last episode, which was the first episode coming into season two, where I definitely noticed that they'd stepped up the game in the animation, that was in place in this episode too. And I noticed just some nice blur in motion, you know, motion blur applied to stuff, and it added a lot more to it too. And this I don't know, maybe if it was because a lot of this episode was in 0G, but yeah, it just looked beautiful.
Yeah, my animation was up to par on this one. So listeners, this is the only time I will say that I don't care what you think. But I don't care what you think, because Cad Bane is hands down the best bounty hunter in the galaxy.
Yeah, I don't see how they're gonna they can disagree with that. It's kind of
objective. I still get people who, and granted, these are people who most of the time, I would say probably about 3 out of 4 times, they're just like, oh, I've never seen Clone Wars.
Yeah.
They're like, no, Boba Fett's the best. I'm like, have you seen Clone Wars?
That's because you're a beginner, sir. That's what you say.
Oh, hon. Bless your pointy little head.
Yeah.
As we say in the South, well, bless your heart.
Yeah.
That, when you hear someone from the South say, bless your heart, it means, oh, hon, you're a dumb fuck.
Yeah.
That's what we mean. Oh, bless your heart. Oh, man. So, the scene where Anakin is lifting the rubble off of himself actually really, like, suddenly reminded me of the episode Seizure of Flaw from Rebels. We hear that kind of, like, woo-woo-woo-woo force sound that they use all the time in Rebels.
Uh-huh.
And it reminds me of when he's Vader lifting the debris of the walker and the fire off him. Like, it just hit me. I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
That's, like, super.
You're totally right.
Yeah, like, I had, like, a hard, like, flashback to that. I was like, yes, there we go. I actually wonder if they, like, went back to, like, maybe took a little nod from that scene.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they made it. I mean, it's the same people making it, so, yeah.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Anyway, and here's Anakin's weakness, his attachments. And so, like, while I'm happy he saved Ahsoka, because I love Ahsoka and she's, like, one of my favorite characters and stuff like that, we're starting to see the foundation of his downside into Vader, which is something that Clone Wars does so well, is that it actually makes sense that he becomes Vader, because we see his progression of, throughout these 3 years, like, you know, him and Padme become more toxic. They actually break up in season 6 for a short time. And you see him, like, have fractured, like, troubles with Ahsoka. And, you know, I've already spoiled this for you, Chris, so it's not going to be a spoiler for you. You know, Ahsoka leaves the Order, and, like, you know, Anakin loses her. And we see in episode 3, like, Obi-Wan kind of, I don't want to say betrays his trust, but it's like, what do you mean you're pregnant, Padme? Oh my god. So, like, you know, his downfall is his attachments. And something that Clone Wars does so well is, like, the more and more he loses these, like, three people that he's the closest to in his life, the closer and closer he becomes Vader.
Yeah.
I think a really great moment is in the Geonosis episodes. I think I swear it's season 3. It might be season 2. I don't know. It's the one where, like, Luminara and Barriss are there, and Ahsoka and Barriss get buried alive, and Anakin's flipping his fucking shit out. He's just like, I need to find my Padawan! Where's my Padawan?
Yeah.
And Luminara is like, I'm ready to let go of my Padawan if something happens, are you? He's like, I'm not gonna lose her and stuff. You know, like, that. There's a real fear there that I feel is, like, what helps lead him to Vader. And, like, oh, Clone Wars is so good at that. It's one of my favorite things about Clone Wars is that it makes sense that Anakin becomes Vader.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a 10-minute moment where he's just like, oh, Padme, I love you.
I changed my mind.
Oh, no, I'm Vader and killing younglings.
Yep.
I saw the best picture the other day. It was a guy with a bunch of younglings beards, beer bottles. And he's like, just call me Vader because I'm killing these younglings.
Oh, God.
I laughed so hard. Oh, I was like, yes, you are a good sir. Good sir, indeed.
They taste like evil.
Yeah. And then I guess my final note for this is another thing I love about this episode is that Anakin's the reckless one. And it takes Ahsoka, who remember is 14 years old, to go, hey, don't be stupid. We're going to die. Let's go. Because, like, Ahsoka saved his life in that regards. And I think going back to last week, she failed to see the bigger picture of the battle on Felucia. And, like, her troops almost got overran and she couldn't see the bigger picture. And Anakin saved her. Well, this week, Anakin's getting reckless and he can't see the bigger picture. And she can see that the ship is about to go up. And she's the one that snaps him out of it. So I like that, like, between the two episodes, she learned from that experience. She got it. She grew from that. And that was a very nice, like, kind of in this arc of Ahsoka. You know, she grew up, and I like it. She grew up some. She learned a lesson.
Yes, definitely.
All right, well, that's all I had for season 3. That.
Yeah, me too.
Well, then, Chris, what did you think of the episode as a whole?
I thought it was... I don't want to say it's inferior to the... I almost was thinking it was inferior to the last one, which they're both great. Because of, like, very much what you were talking about before with the weird cuts and the timeline stuff. But I have to put it on equal footing at an 8 with the last one because of all the... Just on the basis of zero-G battles... really was worth the price of admission, which was free on this show. But it was great. It was the zero G battles are something we haven't seen in Star Wars before. We've seen a little zero G in Clone Wars, but we haven't seen it exploited to its fullest potential. And maybe I thought maybe the animators had just figured out how to do it to make it look right. And they said, let's make this episode our zero-G episode. So we'll have them in space with helmets on, and they can battle in space. And then because there was no other reason to turn the gravity off inside other than just, like, let's have a zero-G fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm all for that. So 8 out of 10, 16 out of 20.
For me, regardless of what I mentioned earlier with, like, all the weird cuts with, like, New Gunray and the fire and stuff like that,
yeah.
I forgot to mention in my little recap, but we also had more clones this episode. A lot more, you know, we had Rex and stuff, and so that always makes it a good episode for me. And while this is a relatively straightforward cat and mouse game of an episode, there's a lot to it. We see that Bane is once again outsmarting the Jedi. We see how ruthless he is. We get some nice Vader nods with Anakin, and Ahsoka is mature enough to save his skin. So I guess the library job last week was really good for her because she could see the bigger problem of the ship blowing up and Anakin couldn't. So despite, like, my little gripes and stuff, I scored it a little bit higher than last week. I gave it a 17 out of 20. If I had to sit down and watch the two over again, I would probably watch this one.
Oh, okay.
As much as I love being in the last week one, this one I definitely... For me, last week, the Jedi were too stupid. Two dumbasses running around going to the communication center.
They did say the communication center about 84 times in the last
episode. You could make it a drinking game and be drunk. Yeah. Be drunk off your ass by the end of it. I'm so Southern in this episode. Oh, my God.
See, I favor the other one because it's just sort of... I mean, we'd had the soft intro of Cad Bane, but that was the true hard intro of Cad Bane. So you got to see, he was still strutting his stuff in this one, but that one was just stands out as just like, that's a great way to introduce a character.
See, I kind of liked him more in this one because we, unlike Orda Innocence, who was dead when we found him, we actually see him kill a Jedi. And he's leading this ship, and he separates two Jedi, and he almost kills Ahsoka again. Well, and
like Palpatine, he uses Anakin's weakness against him.
Yeah. I mean, in the same way. Though he doesn't have the cool poses of last episode, I will say that. There's that great first shot when we see him last episode. He's standing by the window, and he has his toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
And he touches the brim of his hat. Like, he was way cooler last episode. But this one, I feel like, really showcased how dark and ruthless and brutal this is a war. So, I don't know. I liked it. Well, as always, we would love for you guys to rate and review us on iTunes. It helps people find the show, and we will read your review right here on the show. And of course, you know, you're going to have to wait a few weeks because we record ahead of time. I think, where are we right now recording? And we just put up, we're about to start the final Ryloth arc of season one.
Storm Over Ryloth is the one that's going to come out this Wednesday.
Yeah. So to give you an idea, and where we are for the first half of the season two, doing a few double episodes. So we are going to get ahead again, but just be patient. We'd love to hear from you. We want to read your reviews. We want to hear from you guys. We'd like to know if we're great or terrible. So please, please tell us what you think. And you can also, we post up the episodes in the True True Freaks. We should start reading some of the comments on the episode from the Facebook page. Might give them some encouragement.
Sure.
That's a thing. We should do that. Maybe I should pull up one right now while you tell people where to find you, Chris.
You can find me on the interwebs, which is basically, for the people who don't know what the interwebs is, it's a series of tubes with information and porn running through them. And we are at twotruefreaks.com. We're at the end of the Two True Freaks tube. And we're just brimming with podcasts. I think we're in our sixth year of existence. We've been around since 2008, and it's been 3 years now that we've had our own website.
2008 to 2016 is 8 years.
8 years. Oh Jesus.
I've been around for 6 years.
Wow. So we've got quite a backlog of episodes on the twotruefreaks.com website, including giant monsters, B movies, comic books, Star Wars, Star Trek, all kinds of niche, you know, very specific podcasts. We've got one that just on the Nom comics. So, you know, you can go from the very general. We'll do commentaries, and we'll do panel discussions on new movies that come out. Just generally a crew of, I don't know, how many of us do you think there are here? Probably like 30 of us doing podcasts.
Oh, no, we get new ones all the time.
With 35 different podcasts. And so, yeah, come check it out. Maybe you already have, because that's why you're listening to us. But either way, or come to our Facebook page. I want to know how people find out about us. So if you have a story of how you found J-Guys and Jedi, or even Two True Freaks, I'd love for you to go to our Facebook page or mail us and tell us how you found out about us.
Yeah, we're on iTunes. I would actually really love to know how you guys found out about us as well.
We're on Twitter too.
We are on Twitter. All right, I have a very nice comment pulled up. Our good friend Aaron Henley, didn't Aaron already review us on iTunes?
Yes, he has.
Thanks, Aaron. this was a very nice comment he put up about our episode, the Mystery of a Thousand Moons, and he wrote this on our Facebook page. One thing I never really noticed about these two episodes until recently is all the Phantom Menace callbacks. Building the installation during the occupation of Naboo, the angels from the moons of Viego, a great piece of symbolism is that the Separatist base. Just as the dark side slowly creeps in and corrupts, destroys the Republic from within, the base is working to corrupt and destroy Naboo and the galaxy, and in both cases, no one knows anything about it. Looking forward to listening to this one. Thanks again, Hope and Chris, for all the hard work you do. You're welcome, Aaron.
You're welcome, man.
I guess it's okay that I have to talk to this guy every week. I guess. It's not like I asked him, hey, Chris, you want to do a Star Wars podcast or anything? It's not like you were my first choice or anything.
Exactly. It's not like it's hard labor. We're watching cartoons and then talking about it.
No, Chris, I love you to death, man. I'm going to kill you with love. I'm going to send you a heart-shaped pillow to smother yourself with.
Awesome. I'll send you a plastic-lined Rex blanket that you can wrap around your head and secure with a giant rubber band.
Yay. Well, you can find me at Jenkinson Jedi. I run our Twitter page.
With a and blanket you can also around your head.
With a blanket around my head. You can also find me at Hope Molinex on Twitter, and I also write for What the Fangirl. So I don't have anything else, do you?
Not that I can think of.
Gentlemen,
don't put a blanket over your head.
Yeah, and don't send your friends heart-shaped pillows to smother themselves with. That's not a good day. So.
I like how we talk about how we love recording with each other and then immediately start talking about killing each other.
Ooh.
Give the audience something to think about.
Maybe we're the two Sith Lords.
Ooh. Maybe you're Darth Jar Jar.
Maybe I am. My Yoda voice. Me's the Darth Jar Jar. Ooh, maybe me as Darth Jar Jar and you as sexy Yoda will take over the universe.
Yeah, right. Those were the people who were calling all the shots.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do it, guys. Next week on Jedi's and Jedi's, Hope and Chris are going to take over the universe.
I'd love to see somebody draw. I'd love, if there's any artistic types out there, draw us a sexy Yoda and like Yoda in like a trench coat or something.
Oh my god, if you draw us a sexy skeevy Yoda, I'll totally put on our. I will.
Smoking jacket, maybe.
Yeah, like I will put it on our Twitter page. It might become our background of our Twitter page. I'm not even gonna lie. No, I'm gonna make a point now.
Might be my first tattoo.
Yeah, if someone out there draws us a sexy, skeevy, gross-looking Yoda, it will be our background of our podcast Twitter page.
There'll also be some sort of prize, Star Wars-related prize.
First come, first serve. First one to get it to us.
Best sexy Yoda drawing. It's official. Yeah. It's official. It's a contest.
Yep, it's a contest. I'm down for that. Chris will do a specialty yard sale search to find something to send.
Yeah, oh, well, I've got I've got something Yoda related somewhere that I could dig out for someone.
Good, because I love all my Star Wars knickknacks enough to
send. They're not going anywhere. Yeah, no, I got.
I dropped $40 on Rex Legos. They are staying with me till I die.
I literally have boxes of them. So.
Should we do a timeline before like next week?
A timeline of.
Like a contest timeline? Like, you know, we have until like next week to get these.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll never get them in a week. Just send them. If we get some, we'll announce a winner. If we don't. Oh, you mean like to cut off? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll give it 1 month. You have 1 month to draw them so you can do prototypes and whatever. You know, don't work too hard because you ain't going to get something really, but. Great, but you got a whole month to scratch something up.
You get the bragging rights to being a background of a podcast Twitter page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I ever save $1,000 again, maybe I'll get t-shirts made of that because I would love t-shirts of sexy dirty Yoda.
Me too, actually.
With like on the back, all our favorite. We'll get like the five best quote in bed quotes and put them, you know, down the back.
Oh my God! Yes. Yeah. Can we do this as a fundraising project?
Maybe this is a someday. This might be a GoFundMe in the future.
I mean, there's some like I think it's Coffee with Kenobi. They have their own T-shirts that they make money for their podcast off of. But they're also way bigger than we are.
Yeah, they might have some. They might have some capital to.
They are like the Republic, and we are like the Lerman. we're only in one episode, while they are in every single episode.
So. Not a pacifist like the Lerman. We're like the younger generation Lerman. We're no Pappy Lerman bullshit.
No Pappy Lerman's here. Well, I guess until next time, we'll have Bane back for the end of the Bane trilogy. So put on your sunscreen, get your cool hats, because we're going to Mustafar next week. So be careful, Anakin. I would hate for you to lose an arm and a leg over next week's adventure.
Whoa!
Yay!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off?
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.